We've been talking about faith. What is faith? Where does faith come from? Well, faith is how God operates. Everything God does, He does by faith. He created the universe by faith, the scripture tells us. We understand it was by faith that God created the heavens and the earth. He fills us with faith, with the gift of faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ, so that we can move about, walk about by faith in absolute assurance, because He has absolute assurance. God doesn't waver in His faith. And then last month we talked about God is faithful. Tonight, what we want to look at is the disciples asked Jesus a question, or more of a statement: increase our faith. Increase our faith. Luke chapter 17, 5 through 10. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, now this is just an explanation or an illustration. If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. Wouldn't that be something to see a tree growing in the sea? It said planted, didn't say just thrown in, but planted. That's a pretty big miracle, isn't it? And it would obey you. So we're talking about being able to speak, and whatever we're speaking, there is an obedience. And by the way, all creation is groaning in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we want to see this manifest presence of God. I get to see it all the time. And we speak things and they happen. We pray things and they happen. And we're seeing this reality, these manifest things happening. And by the way, in the book of Revelation and other places in prophecy, it talks about in the end, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet will all be doing great and marvelous things. Now, let me tell you something. You can't counterfeit a $4 bill. Nobody bothers to counterfeit a $4 bill. Why? Because it's not existent. You only counterfeit what is real. And in order for the counterfeit to appear to be the real thing, means that the entire body of Christ is moving mightily in the gifts of the Spirit. Something worthy of counterfeiting. Got it? If I don't tell you anything else tonight, get it. Okay? This is where we're moving. We're moving in this direction to where God can work through us, His body, to do whatever He wants to do, however He wants to do it, whenever He wants to do it. And we're not in charge. Fact is, and as Phil was saying, sometimes we don't even know what we're doing. And which of you, now, so far all he's done is talk about faith. This is what great faith does. It says to the tree, be picked up and planted in the sea. Now, does that sound like anything else that Jesus might have said or done? Well, of course it does. Remember when he was going by the olive tree and it didn't have a fruit on it? And he spoke to it and it withered up, and they asked him about that. And he said, have God faith. If you have God faith, you can say to the mountain, be picked up and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. So he's talking about the same thing. Now, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what is our duty to do. Now, who was the servant he was talking about? He was talking about himself. He said, this is how I operate in human body on the earth. This is the way I do. My Father speaks. So I speak what I hear my Father speak. I do what I see my Father do. And when it's all over, I say, I am but an unprofitable servant. In other words, and what's that mean? It means that we just simply do. And we take no recognition. We take no honor. We just walk away. Go into our closet and thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ah, you did it again. Hallelujah. That was wonderful. Let's go do it again. But it's not our doing. It's the Father's doing. It's Jesus' doing. It's the Holy Spirit's doing. See? And so we just cooperate with God. That's all faith is. Remember, we did the Father spoke, the Spirit moved. As I created the universe, the Father, the Word, the Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And now, of course, we are in the Son, and the Son is in us, and we abide in Him. His Word abides in us, and the Father speaks, and the Spirit moves. It passes right through us, and miracles. Answered prayer. See, everything that the Father wants to do. And in the end, yes, we're the servant. We just humble ourselves and keep going. Keep going. Keep going. We don't take the credit for anything. And by the way, we don't take the blame for anything. I don't take the credit. I don't take the blame. I just do. Hallelujah. And you see, wouldn't it be wonderful? I think it would be wonderful to be a servant with a master who really loved me and really cared for me. I would never have to worry about food or clothing or transportation or housing or taxes or even go on and on and on. You know, why? Because he's already taken care of everything. All I have to do is go work in the field. Just go do whatever it is that he's wanting to do. So we begin to see this. Now, let's look at real experience of Jesus operating in this realm in Luke chapter 7, verses 2 through 10. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him, that is to Jesus, to come and to heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loved our nation and has built us a synagogue. Now, by the way, Nelson's already mentioned this, but we don't beg God for anything. You don't have to. Jesus said, I'm not going to pray in your behalf. The Father himself loves you. Father, you just ask whatever you want, and the Father who loves you is going to take care of it. Amen? We have a loving Father, And we serve a living God, by the way. Hallelujah. And so this, all that these elders are saying wouldn't impress God in the least little bit. Okay? It's not what we do that impresses God. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him. I love that. Send the religious people. They got it wrong. Now send your friends. They get it right. Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Does that sound like humility? Sounds like humility to me. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. I'm just an unprofitable servant. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Now, here's your clue. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to the one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. In all of Israel, not such great faith. And those who were sent returned to the house and found the servant well who had been sick. Now that's something to counterfeit. Hallelujah. That's reality. So let's go back. What's the centurion saying? He's saying, I've learned how this works. I am a man under authority. So without putting that into the words that he did for the others, but it's the same thing. I'm told to do something, I do it. That's what being under authority means. It's a recognition that there is someone greater than we are who knows more than we know and can do more than we can do, and we submit to that. So I'm submitted to the Father. I am submitted to Jesus. I am submitted to the Holy Spirit. And they can do with me whatever they want to do. And they don't even have to explain it to me. They don't have to let me know what they're up to. I'll just simply obey. I'll do what I'm told to do. So this centurion who ended up with this great statement from Jesus, I have not found such great faith, not in all of Israel, because he recognized all faith is doing what you're told to do. So Jesus, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Now for us, that may be speaking a word, or it may be the laying on of hands. There was a lady that her granddaughter is having some real complicated problems, and sometimes it's life and death. She's 5 months old. And so she's there, and she gets in the elevator. And different ones getting on the elevator are talking about, we need a miracle. And this was concerning other people, not her granddaughter. This was their own problem. We need a miracle. And so what she do? She just grabs two of these women, puts her arms around them, and starts praying for them. And all of a sudden, the entire elevator is full of people praying and loving on each other and caring for one another. And whenever they got ready to get out of the elevator, everyone was reaching out and touching the other one. And they all went to their separate places in the hospital. Wow! Who would ever have thought just a little thing like praying for people would do such marvelous things? Hallelujah. And God is moving mightily. I don't know if you're keeping up with all of this right now. Prayer, and I know I've mentioned to you, you know, it's sad. I grew up in a fundamental Baptist church, missionary Baptist church, but Wednesday night was prayer meeting. And it was the strangest thing. We prayed. I go to prayer meetings now and they say a little prayer and then they do all kinds of other things. They might even say a prayer at the end or they might not. What happened to the prayer meetings? Well, I'll tell you what, they're coming back. In Nashville, Tennessee, people from all denominations are coming together and praying. Fact is, what they did, they felt led of the Lord to write down the name of every person in Nashville and give it out, and it didn't matter if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whoever you are, you're praying together with the rest of them. Doctrine out the window. Don't worry about doctrine. Love one another. Care for one another. Pray together. Unity of the Spirit. And what's happening? Jesus is showing up. And all of a sudden, they're praying. Everyone has 15 names. They don't know these people, but everyone has 15 names that they're praying for. And all of a sudden, there's this prayer going forth. In Orlando, Florida, same thing. I believe we're going to see every town have a place of prayer. It won't be in a church building. It'll just be a place of prayer where people can go whenever they want to. Maybe at lunchtime, everybody just, people open the door. People come in. Let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. What we're looking at, that we're looking at a, being so in tune with Jesus that we can see what he's doing. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've preached that for years. But also in John 3, it says, if you're born again, you will see the kingdom. You must be born again. And if you're born again, Jesus said two things. He said, you'll see the kingdom, and you will enter the kingdom. Now, the kingdom has to do with operating in the authority of the king. And Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So there's a pattern in heaven that's being worked out on the earth through the body of Christ. Got it? And as you spend the time, go into your closet, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret, and he's going to show you the kingdom. In other words, he's going to show you what he's up to. It's good to illustrate these things, I guess. One of the things that God has had me doing is the scripture says God hates unjust weights. Okay? God said, I hate unjust weights. And so God spoke to me one day, and he said, I'm bringing down the pharmakia, the drug industry, because they keep raising prices, which is unjust, it is unrighteous, and God hates it. And so God said, speak against it until it comes down. So I began to speak First day I spoke, nothing happened. Spoke again, nothing happened. Spoke again, nothing happened. But in the spirit, I could see it happening. And now they brought all of them before Congress and said, either you bring the prices down or we will bring them down for you. Hallelujah. Does God hear? Of course he does. It wasn't my idea. It was his idea. He's the one who told me to do it. See, every morning I'm all over the earth doing stuff. Over in North Korea doing stuff. I'm in Venezuela doing stuff. All from my closet. And then I see it happen. And see it happen. And see it happen. Hallelujah. The kingdom is going to be established on the earth. And of course, we don't want to just be in the negative realm. God says, bless, bless. And so, I'm blessing. He said, at first it seemed kind of strange. Because he would say, bless every home in the United States. Well, okay. But some of them are pretty rotten homes. He said, it don't matter. I'm going to make it rain on the just and unjust alike. For God so loved the world. Oh my. Does he still love the world, even in all of its mess? He says he does. And he said, I'm going to do something about it. I'm blessing the work of man's hands. So that everyone... Oh, this was fun. I was hard at it. You know, Lord, bless the work of man's hands. Everyone who wants to work will be able to have a job that they enjoy. And then all of a sudden, Walmart said, we're not going to have greeters anymore. Let them handicap. And if they can't lift 20 pounds, they can't be a greeter. Boy, God got pretty upset. Walmart changed their mind real fast. Hey, when God gets to yanking your chain, you had better change quick. Because he can put you in bankruptcy in a day. And then Mike Parson decides that he's going to sign an order that we're going to look for jobs until every handicapped person has a job they can do. Hallelujah. You see, we're not just speaking, we're talking God talk. And God is doing things. Listen, and what you hear God tell you, do what God tells you to do. Hallelujah. We need to be obedient. If it sounds ridiculous, do it anyway. It doesn't matter. We don't know what we're going to be called on to do. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And he said to them, why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? Don't you know that you have to be about your Father's business? And most of you have heard God speak to you individually. Because he's doing this. He's saying, simplify, simplify, simplify. Get rid of all distractions. Get rid of everything that is a distraction. So that you can hear God and obey. Hallelujah. And don't worry. A lot of people say, oh, if I did that, I'd starve to death. Hey, a preacher told me that years ago. If you do that, you know, they thought I came up with the idea of having this servant writer ministry. But they said, if you do that, you'll starve to death. The beautiful thing is, God knew what he was talking about. And all I did was obey. All I do today is obey. For the next 25 years or so, all I'm going to do is obey. And then throughout eternity, all I'm going to do is obey. Because faith, hope, and love don't end when you die. They are eternal things. So forever and ever and ever, we will be walking by faith. That is, we'll be listening to God and doing whatever it is that He's doing. I must be about my Father's business. Forever and ever and ever, there will be hope. That is, there'll be something beyond where we are that we're looking forward to. Hope is a joyful, confident expectation. You won't be bored in heaven. There'll always be something to be excited about, to be joyful about, something you're looking forward to, some assignment that you're being asked to carry out. 2 Timothy 2:4 goes on to explain this. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I was in the Marine Corps for 3.5 years, and then in the Air Force for 4 years. I learned one thing really well. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What is it? Go dig a hole. Okay. Yes, sir. I go dig a hole. Now fill it up. Yes, sir. Fill it up. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm learning to please the commander. Amen? We don't get entangled. Well, sorry, sir, about that. That hole's just going to have to wait. I have to go buy groceries. Got it? Okay, Philippians 2, 8 through 11. It's talking about Jesus now. We're talking about a faithful servant. Okay? And being found in appearance as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So whatever Jesus does glorifies the Father. Whatever we do glorifies Jesus, that glorifies the Father. The whole point in the end is that God gets the glory. We're just servants. We're just doing what we're supposed to do. And we do our part. We walk away. Hallelujah. Matthew 25:23. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Almost a repeat of the same thing in Luke 19:17. And he said to him, "Well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. I didn't know there were going to be 10 cities in heaven. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about earth. He's talking about every time you move in power and authority coming from God. God gives you bigger assignments. And get bigger and bigger and bigger assignments. And with each assignment, of course, it becomes more difficult, so we have to grow. And as we've been learning now for many months, we have to get rid of "I can do it." You'll fail every time if you try to do it in your strength. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Let Christ do it through you. Let Christ speak through you. Let Christ work through you. Let Christ love people through you. Let Christ pray prayers through you. So as we, as John the Baptist said, I have to decrease and he will increase. So that's what I'm experiencing. That's what you're experiencing. And the growing pains sometimes, kind of hard, but it's okay. We're growing, we're learning. But in the end, the body of Christ will have all power and all authority, all dominion. Nothing will be impossible to us. We will walk about with absolute assurance. Like Nelson was saying, if we make up prayers and we try to get God to do things, we end up disappointed. Over and over and over, I prayed. But when God speaks through you, and God actually prays, and when we're praying in tongues, that's God praying through us, as the Holy Spirit praying through us, and we're taking things over. I keep praying, God, fill the atmosphere. Fill the atmosphere. Some 50 some years ago, or 60 years ago, I was teaching a bunch of young people, and I said, I want to share something with you. I said, they're planning on putting people on the moon. And so I want to teach you ahead of time so that when it happens, you'll know what we're working with here. I said, once they break free from the atmosphere, they will also break free from Satan's influence. And the only influence from there on out is God. So I said, watch what happens. And of course, you know that several of them came back and they said, we met God. Once we were free from the satanic atmosphere, we met God. And some of them became preachers. Hallelujah. So God tells us that Satan is the god of the air, the god of the atmosphere. And on the weather forecast, they have a question. This was multiple choice question. How high does the atmosphere go up? Is it 10 mile, 20 mile, or 30 mile? The correct answer was 20 mile. So Satan is limited to being on the earth and 20 miles above the earth, filling the atmosphere with all the evil that he can come up with. Right? Causes a lot of problems. But God is changing the atmosphere. He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks into the air. Hallelujah. So, and there are times, it's not me praying. And I can feel, it's almost ferocious, but I can feel God is changing the atmosphere 20 miles high around the world. As it says, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's full coverage. Hallelujah. Every time I blow the shofar, I'm changing the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Jesse and I spend a lot of time blowing the shofar. I'm doing it on purpose to bring God into the atmosphere. Change a negative atmosphere to a positive atmosphere. And all of a sudden, things are happening. Now let's go back, for God so loved the world. I want to spend a little bit more time on that. Because God is saying, I want to bless every household, Christian and non-Christian alike. He said this latter rain is going to be an outpouring of his Spirit. That means everyone is going to benefit. Not everyone will be born again, but everyone will benefit from the presence of God. People prayed a long time before they came to America. And they desperate, and they prayed in desperation, and God brought them to America. But only the Christians benefit from living in America, right? Shake your head, no. No. Everyone benefits. Why? Because God is blessing America. And everyone benefits to some extent. Now, some people squander that. Some people mess it all up. As Nelson said, they have that free choice. They can do that if they want to. But in past awakenings, the entire, for instance, Philadelphia was one place where they started a prayer meeting. Wasn't in a church. It was in a room. 12 people came, started to pray. Other people out on the street heard about it. Well, can we come? Yeah, you're invited. Come on, come on. Finally, they had to start limiting them. You can't pray over 5 minutes because we have to allow time for everyone to pray who wants to pray. Next thing they know, they're shutting down the jail because of no crime. Don't need court system. Don't need judges or attorneys. Because the Spirit of God took over the town. And then it began to spread in town after town after town. City after city after city. There are islands in the Pacific Ocean where they have no police department. Don't need it. No jails. Don't need it. Because the presence of God. Are all of them born again? Nope. Are all of them blessed? Yes. God is meeting needs. Because there's this coverage. God is causing it to rain on the just and the unjust alike. There's going to be a mighty wind. You think that was what mighty wind that blew today? There's a mighty wind coming. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken may remain. Hallelujah. We'll see what's left standing up. Don't worry about what people say, and don't get distracted by anything. Keep your eyes fastened on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I know growing up, they said, well, that was because he had bad eyesight and had physical problems. He's not talking about that. If you look at it in the Greek, it's very definitely talking about demonic activity. Demonic activity, and then persecutions of people and all of these things. He said, not my deal. This is Father. This is I'm just an unprofitable servant, Paul would say. I'm just here to obey God, whatever it takes. I think about when he went to Philippi. That wasn't Paul's idea. Remember, he was headed to Asia. But then he saw in a vision this guy from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And so he goes over to Macedonia. And what's he find? A prayer meeting down by the riverside. Hallelujah. Oh, we love prayer meetings. And then this nice lady came along and said, these are the men of the Most High God. Listen to them. But Paul knew who she was. She had the spirit of Python. In the Greek, the word Python. She was a witchcraft. And so Paul cast the demon out of her, and then they throw him in jail. Oh, they beat him first, and then they throw him in jail. And now what do you have to say about it, Paul? Are you just a servant? Yes, sir. Put me in jail. That's okay. You know what I'm going to do in jail? I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship in jail. And then what happened? God sent an earthquake. Shook the jail down. And then what happened? The jailer and all of his household got saved, born again. I'd say that's a pretty good day's work. Hallelujah! So Paul said, persecution, whatever, it's okay. For when I'm weak, he is strong. A lot of times the mentality is, I can do it. I find so many people in the ministry that are burnt out because they thought they could do it. And if they can't do it, just enlist a whole bunch of other people who can do it. And now they're all burnt out. We can't do it, folks. We have to be filled with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's go through it again. I know we go through it an awful lot. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, referring to Jesus, it said, in him dwells the Godhead bodily. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's verse 9. But what's verse 10 say? And you too are filled with the Godhead bodily, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They live in us. They're on the earth doing the work. Hallelujah. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Be glorified in all of this. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. It's not just I can do all things. Is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. Why? Because God can do it. The creator of the universe can do it. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith grows exceedingly. Paul talks about the faith that leads to more faith, that leads to more faith, that leads to more faith, that leads to more faith. So our faith is growing exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So now we go back to Jude, verses 20 and 21, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, that's praying in tongues, keeping yourself in the love of God. He brings both of them out in this one verse right here. Hallelujah. And faith works by love. Without love, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. See if you recognize any of this prayer. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to His mighty power which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly sphere or the heavenly places, far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, praying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's my prayer for you, that you be filled with all the fullness of God. I also pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. I pray that you will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. In my prayers for you, I'm remembering your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the sight of God our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now, may the Lord make you abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I also pray that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us with an everlasting consolation and good hope and grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patience of Christ. I pray for you that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.